All right, so as we look at God's judgment against these nations, you see where Israel is in modern day Israel, right up here just above the Sea of Galilee, down here, actually goes to a point down here. You have the Sinai Peninsula and you have the Red Sea and all this down here. Runs right along. You have the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea. River Jordan runs between these two right here. That's your border today. Over here today is Jordan, the nation of Jordan. Over here today is the nation of Syria. Okay. Over here today is the nation of Lebanon. Okay, down below Jordan, way down here is below what you can see, and off to this area is the nation of Saudi Arabia today. And then over here in this area is the nation of Egypt. So those are the nations that actually surround Israel today. They have ancient names, which we'll be looking at and stuff. When you look at some of the nations that are threatening Egypt today, which even Ezekiel will deal with later on as we get into the book of in some of the prophecies of Ezekiel, off to this area in here you would have the nations of Iraq, which would be ancient Babylon, and Iran, which would be ancient Persia. Further over here in the on the African continent, you would have groups that are listed in the scripture prophecy. Kush. Okay, today areas of Ethiopia, those kind of areas, those African continents, which Ezekiel will actually prophesy will come against Israel in the last day. I genuinely believe you and I are seeing things line up, for the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 38 when it talks about, and when we read Ezekiel chapter 38, you're going to say, well, is that Armageddon? I would say to you, no, I don't believe Ezekiel, the battle of Ezekiel 38 is Armageddon. Okay. What you're going to have is you're going to have from the north, far north, many believe, Gog, Magog having to do with, and Gomer having to do with Russia, Turkey. Now, Turkey, even today, is one of those nations that it goes wherever, wherever, whatever's happening, whatever the political pressure is. So at times Turkey will seem like they're okay with Israel and okay with the West, but the pressure, you can see when the pressure comes on Turkey, then they go with whichever way it goes, and that's the way it will be in that day. He will describe all the way up into Russia in the passages in the weeks ahead, the area of Turkey. He will deal with Persia. He will deal with Egypt. He will deal with Ethiopia, and all these coming in at one time. That's in Ezekiel 38. But before we get there, which is about 13 chapters away, we're going to look at these today. That could be 13 years away with our group. So. Who are we going to blame for that? Go ahead and blame me. It's all right. All right, we're going to do several chapters today, which I know is going to amaze you. So, we begin with the first judgment that Ezekiel speaks. Remember where Ezekiel is, and remember where we were last week. Ezekiel prophesied and said while he was there in captivity, today is the day that Judah is going to fall. And that's what we described in the last chapter. So, it moved from a place now, in our text here, from a place of just prophecy to fulfillment of prophecy. That is, Judah fell. And who was still over there in Judah and Jerusalem at that time? What prophet? Jeremiah was at that time. So, he and several others were a part of that last siege of Nebuchadnezzar. So, now in chapter 25, he's going to talk about the surrounding nations. So he begins, look at verse 1 and 2. And again, I'm not going to read all these verses in these chapters because it becomes the same thing over and over again. But I just want you to know what's happening so you have a view of what's happening here. So he begins, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because you said, Aha, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when it was in captivity. Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east. And they shall set their encampments among you and make their dwellings among you and their fruit and their drink." Okay, so let's look at the prophecy here. This deals with Ammon. Ammon today, the Ammonites today. By the way, have you ever heard of a city called Amman? It is the capital of Jordan. You know where that name comes from? Right here. Okay. So the Ammonites are in this region north of the Dead Sea and up. Below what in that day, today's Syria, but in that day would have been you know, the former Assyrian capital and everything that was up here. So in this region right here, you have Ammon. Today, it is Jordan. Okay? That's what the modern day, and by the way, some of us have been in Jordan, haven't we? And there's a wonderful place to go in Jordan, Petra. Yeah. And I know Joe remembers that Magadha. I think that's where you stepped off the curb and got the foot and stuff. That wasn't a good thing, but we did. We went to Ammon. Remember, we went to Amman, and we stayed in a hotel there. That was quite an experience. You're in this city, and you look out the thing. And there's goats, you know, and you're going down the road, and there's this truck comes down the road, and it's piled up high as you can't even imagine how high. You have people hanging off of it all over the place, you know, and we got to visit some of the Jordanian hospitals, which was kind of interesting too. But who are these descendants? Where did these Ammonites come from? And they are the descendants of one of the daughters of Lot. So that's where they came from. Okay. So in a very real way, although today you have this all, it's like when you look at Israel, you say they're all Jews. You don't really deal with their tribal background so much. It's the same way we do today. We say most everybody over there is Arab in the thing, but many of them have lineages that are very, very closely tied to the Jewish people when you go all the way back and you see. So you have Lot. Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Okay, and the descendants of Lot actually predate, now think about this, predate the nation of Israel. Okay, you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You have three generations there. Okay, Lot's in the same generation as Abraham. So you have three generations there before you have the nation of Israel even being birthed. Remember, it was Jacob whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob is Israel the man. There is Israel the land. And then there is Israel the people, the nation. Okay, so the Ammonites are our distant cousins, distant relations to the Israelite. And when there was trouble, and what he says here is, when there was trouble against my holy place, against, you just sort of sat back there and, aha, what's that mean? You just kind of laughed it off. And God says, because you did not do the right thing concerning this, I will bring judgment. And notice what he says here, I will bring the armies of the east. Now, in our mind, it's always this way. It's always in this way. When we say the East, we're always thinking China. Those Chinese, those communist Chinese are going to do this and that and the other thing. So that's in our mind because we always think the Far East and stuff. Remember, biblically and prophetically, the center of direction is right there. Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. Even if you have to go down to Jerusalem, you go up to Jerusalem. Okay? So you always go up to Jerusalem, and when the Bible says from the east, from the north, from the south, from the west, the center point where you're understanding that direction thing is Jerusalem. So, who are these people from the east? Well, who would fit into that? Well, in this time, clearly, who would fit into that would be the Babylonians. Where are they? They're over here in the east. And after the Babylonians, who's going to come? The Medes and the Persians. The Persians are the Iranians today. And where are they? They're over here in the east. Okay? So when he says the people from the east, okay, and I want to just say this to you. When you get in the book of Revelation, it talks about the kings of the east coming and the armies of the east coming. Again, people want to say that is China. I don't know that I believe it's China. I believe you're going to have a great Arab army. And for our day, remember, Arab army in this day did not mean the same thing Arab army means in our day. Well, you know what I mean by that? Here's what I want you to know. There was no Muslim faith then. The Islamic faith is 400 years younger than Christianity. It didn't. When they say Isaac was a Muslim, that it's just not true. Okay? When they say that, when they say all the Arabs and they are descendants of great Islamic people of Islamic faith, it's not true. It'd be like us saying, you know, Abraham was a Christian. Well, he wasn't. Why wasn't he? Because there were no Christians as we define Christians. Christianity was birthed at Pentecost. Now, were there followers of God? Yeah. And were there followers of the moon god, which, by the way, is the Allah of the Quran, prior to Christ? Yes, but they were not Islamic. They had many gods. As a matter of fact, it was Muhammad that was so upset that they had many gods who finally said, this is wrong. We've got to come back and we have to have one God. And so he selects the one God. His name is Allah. He is a moon god. Okay? He has no son. You see? Esau, to them, is a prophet. But Esau is not the son of God. Esau is the name they use for Jesus. Okay? And Esau, they would say, was just one who came and was a forerunner of Muhammad to bring about the one true faith, which is Islam. Okay? These are historical facts. It's not an attack on one group. But you need to understand, what could pull all these, when we look in Revelation, what could pull all these armies together, you know, and when it says they come from the east, again, we think China. I don't think China. I think we're talking about these massive Muslim armies that are, you know, what is their threat today? What is their threat even today? We are going to destroy Israel. We're going to drive the Jews into the sea and there'll be no more. That's Ezekiel 38, folks. Ezekiel 38, that they're going to come down. They're going to come down from here. They're going to come from here. They're going to come up from here. From all sides, he described, in order to destroy. And God's going to act on behalf of Israel. That's a cool thing when we get to that part. But we're not there yet. 13 chapters. Okay? But just so you get a perspective of where we are today. But this prophecy is not an end-time prophecy right here. This is not an end-time prophecy. Okay? This is something that God's going to bring about as he's judging Israel in that day. He's also going to judge the nations that are around them in that day. Okay? So the first one he speaks of is Ammon. The descendants of Lot, one of Lot's daughters, okay, they live in this region right here. Questions or comments on the judgment of Ammon? Any input? I'm throwing out a lot of information. I don't want to confuse you between what's going to happen, what has happened, but it does give you a picture. And so if it's not clear, please ask me to clarify. I'd be glad to do it. Okay? Let's go on then to verse 8. And this, now we move from the judgment of Ammon and the Ammonites to the judgment of Moab and the Moabites. Who do you know? Who's a famous Moabite that you know? Ruth. Matter of fact, she's actually in the lineage of Jesus. Okay? That incredible. Kind of slaps down that God's... Now, people want to say God talks about being unequally yoked, having to do with ethnic issues. It has nothing to do with ethnic issue. It has to do with faith. Has to do with faith. Always has to do with faith. That's the reason why he told them when you take the land, you don't intermarry. Because what he says is if you intermarry, you'll take their gods. And you know what Israel did? They went in there, they intermarried, and guess what they did? You know, God, have you figured it out yet? God knows what he's talking about. I don't know. I think we got it up here, but sometimes we don't want to apply it. You know. So now we come to the group called Moabites. Here's what he says, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, look, the house of Judah is like all nations. Therefore, I will clear the territory of Moab's cities, of the cities in the frontier, of the glory of the country, Beth, and it goes on and gives saying that to the men of the east I will give as a possession. Okay, the same prophecy. So, you know, here's what you need to understand. when Babylon came through here, they didn't say, you know what, these are our Arab brothers, so let's just go around them, let's just take care of those Jews. That's not the picture. When they came through here, when Nebuchadnezzar came through here, he came through here and took care of business all along. Okay? And his mode, which was carried on by the Medes and the Persians, was not to just destroy all the cities, unless he just got, like he did with Jerusalem, he just got fed up with Jerusalem. Okay? But his mode was to come in and conquer their armies, then conscript all the military men to join his army, and then take possession and make these cities that belong to Babylon. Okay? Now, so the Moabs, the Moabite people, are also the descendants of Lot. They are the descendants of the other daughter of Lot. Now, think about this. So you have the, here's where the descendants of Lot settled after all the scenario that you read there in Genesis. One daughter's descendants settled right here in Ammon, modern day Jordan. The other one settled just adjacent to the Dead Sea down here, just below. Okay, and you remember when the Israelites came out of captivity, they came this way, and we don't know how far. There's a dispute on how far they went. Many of us believe they went over into Saudi Arabia. Okay, but from Saudi Arabia, they came back up through this valley, the Dead Sea Valley. And by the way, you have right in here, it's not up here, you have Mount Nebo. And you have the place where Moses died and stuff, okay? And then finally they entered into the Promised Land, if you remember, at a place called Jericho, which is right up here, right up above the Dead Sea. They crossed the Jordan River. God stopped the water in the Jordan River. They crossed on dry land, and they took Jericho. Originally, God brought them up this way. And remember, that's when they sent in the 12 spies. And then they said, the 10 of them came back and says, we can't do it. They're too big for us. They're too mean for us. And so they said, we're not going in. Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's go in. All right? Moses said, well, God said to Moses, okay, you won't go in, so now you're going to wander. A couple weeks later, you know what they did? They come running to Moses. Okay, Moses, we'll go in. And God says, you go in now, you'll be defeated. Because now you're going in your own strength. God had your day. You had your choice. You had your time. They tried to go in, and what happened? They got whooped. From a biblical perspective, they got whooped. Okay? So then they wandered in this lower region, the Sinai Peninsula, I believe Saudi Arabia, for 40 years. Okay? And then God finally, after that generation dies, just like God said to Moses, he brings them right up to this side of the valley. And they have to deal with armies, and they deal with the Moabites. Remember what they said to the Moabites? They said, you know what? We want to come through here. We will not take your water. We will not take your food. All we need is a place to camp. And the Moabites said what? Take a hike. So she like all these biblical phrases, take a hike, you know. They would not do anything for them, okay? So now God is going to bring judgment on them for that. But also, again, for when Judah found itself in trouble, they did not do anything. Most of Moab today is still a part of the kingdom of Jordan. So it's very interesting that you have the descendants of Lot, Ammon and Moab. Now they are, in our day and time, they are consolidated into one nation. Okay, so if you ever want to, the Jordanians themselves, they're not Palestinians. You need to understand again history. Many of what are called Palestinians today are those that Jordan didn't want anything to do with. And they came over. There is no, I'm going to tell you this, and check it out all you want. There is no Palestinian ethnic group. It does not exist. The Palestinian group is a political designation for a group of, how do I want to say it, of refugees that actually were originally expelled from here. The term Palestine, it was a British Empire that called this region Palestine for the first time. Okay? And they thought they would use a derivative from the Old Testament named the Philistines, because the British leader did not care much for Israel and thought about, well, what would be the one thing that he could. So you have the The Philistines lived right along this area right here. And so they called him Palestine. It's a political. Palestine, the whole designation of Palestine, the name, the thought that there's an ethnic group called the Palestinians, all these things are political things. There is no ethnic group called the Palestinians. There's no heritage there. Okay? I know most of you probably have thought, yeah, there is. Because that's what's taught. That's what's promoted and stuff. Okay, but it's not. You find no heritage in the Bible. If you did a genealogy study of those people, you wouldn't find it because it's not there. Okay, so this has become a big political. By the way, you understand what this has become a big political mess over here. And what other nation has every other nation sticking their nose into their business every day of the year? You know, think about that. You know, you got the UN got to say something about Israel. Every day they got to say something about Israel. Yeah. Sue?
Do the Palestinians know they're cast off? Like, do they know?
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't... You know, a lot of it, Sue, could be like what's happening, I think, even in our own country. If you ask a lot of kids today, and I would say at least the generation that's in school now, and maybe the past two generations in school, you try to ask them about American history, and most of them can't tell you a lick about it. They don't know anything about the history of their own country. And I would say to you that because of the several generations gone through here, their history being changed and being retaught, they believe like our kids would. You know, you set them in a classroom and you give a teacher authority, and the teacher says, you know what, the founding fathers really weren't men of faith, and they really hated other people, and you can't really trust the Constitution. I mean, we go right on down the list of a lot of things that, you know, some people have agendas, and even teachers have agendas. You know, I always tell people, whether your kids go to Christian school, public school, or home school, the primary educator in the family needs to be the parents.
Amen.
You know, to answer your question, if you were to go over there and ask the people there that have been in this for generations now, they would say, yeah, we are the Palestinians. That's who we are. And they lay claim to things clear back to the time we're talking about right now, but they don't exist. That's why they keep telling Israel, this is our land. This isn't your land. This is our land. They don't exist. Yeah.
They also believe that the promises went to Ishmael.
Yeah.
So that the land belonged.
But even that, folks, is a pretty recent development, which is tied in with Islam and Muslim. They want you to believe that Abraham and Isaac were the founders of the Muslim faith, and they're not. Not Isaac, Ishmael. Okay. They're not. It did not even exist. It didn't even exist in the time of Jesus. There was no Muslim faith in the time of Jesus. You know? Muhammad is the founder, basically, of the Muslim faith. He is. Okay? So, Sandy, were you going to ask something?
Oh, I was just trying to just make a mental correlation. You were saying the Palestinians, they were a group of people. They weren't slaves, but basically they were
cast-offs. Yeah, they were cast. They were refugees or cast-off, mostly from this region of Palestine, of Jordan. Remember, Jordan has gone through a lot of upheavals and stuff, and it wasn't until the previous king. Now we have King Abdullah. Is that? He's a blue-eyed king because his mama is American. Okay, Queen Noor. Is American, and the people love him, and most of the, for the most part, I think America loves him, and in, as best they can, even Israel loves him. You understand what I mean by that? There's tension there, but it's not like it is for Syria and these other areas and stuff. Matter of fact, Israel is teaching Jordan today how to feed itself, how to grow stuff in the desert. Okay, so. But his father, King Hussein, okay, was the one that really pulled this together, because this also was a big British province, and they had warlord leaders and all this kind of things going on there and stuff like that, and some of those warlord followers and stuff are part of that group that end up being what we call modern day Palestinians. Okay? It's an interesting history, and I can't be exact on it, but it really is. I mean, you're talking about a region. Jordan is probably the most stable Arab or Islamic country in the Middle East. Okay? And that's because of King Hussein and also King Abdullah, his son, that followed him. Okay? But that's not to say they cannot and will not be overthrown. I think they will be someday. Or pressured to go with the rest of the group and stuff. But that, it hadn't always been like that. They previously were like many of the other countries that whoever has the biggest stick rules and gets what they want. Okay? And now they have the added pressure of the imams and the religious leaders. Like when you look at Iran and you have the great power of the Ayatollahs. You know, that's a religious power. You know, think about Iran with me for a moment and see what's going on over there and where we're at. You have Iran, and Iran has a nut for a president who's Ahmadinejad. He's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy as a $3 bill. He's just a loon boy. You know, but that's not all that's going on there, because they also have the great power of the Ayatollahs, which are basically a fancy name for an Islamic imam with great power. Other terms you'll hear in a different region are things like mullahs. They're exalted imams. Imams are religious leaders, religious teachers in Islam. Okay. And these people have such power. And you remember when the Shah of Iran, which was, y'all remember the Shah? I know.
Yeah.
So you probably don't remember Shah of Iran.
Yeah.
Just the baby over there doesn't remember the Shah of Iran. So, but at that time, if you think about it, Iran was more of a democracy at that time. It was set up more that way. But once there was a vacuum when the Shah was deposed, then the first thing you see is the Ayatollahs coming in, the religious leaders. If you think that the Islamic religious leaders will ever let anything that is similar to democracy happen over here, then I've got some beachfront property I want to sell you right outside of Goodyear, okay? It's just not going to happen. And this is the folly even, I'm not trying to get political, but you need to understand this is what's happening. This is the folly of what our government is trying to do. You're not going to go over into Afghanistan, Pakistan. You're not going to go over into Iran. You're not going to go into Iraq. And you're not going to create democracies. They don't want it.
That's right.
Someone's asked me, well, what do you think about Afghanistan? My opinion, I'll just tell you my opinion. Since you ask, I heard someone ask that. We need to get our guys out of there. Because the ones that are over there and dying now are not dying for any change. It's not going to happen. Russia tried to take them. Didn't happen. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I think our political leaders have their heads in the cloud. When they think they're going to go over there, they want to believe that the Islamic faith, I'm not talking about individuals, but the Islamic faith thinks like we think. And they don't. They don't. They have an agenda, and their agenda is that all the world will be Islamic. Either by acquiescence, what that word? Thank you. Or by force. And you can see the extremism in there, where you have people that are willing to blow themselves up to get these things done. We live in a very dangerous time, and you know, it's like, I love when it says in David said that God raised up some people in David's time who understood the times that they lived in. Unfortunately, many of our leaders don't seem to understand the time. And I'm not talking about a political party, because it is right across the board, from Democrat to Independent to Republican. They have no... It's folly. Sorry, it's folly. And they want to act like Islam is just like Judaism or just like Christianity. It's not. Okay? So I'll get off of that now and we'll move on. But I think you have to understand that to understand what's going to happen. Okay? And what is happening. All right. Questions on either Ammon or Moab. Okay? Correlate that to what it is today. Because almost every prophecy of Ezekiel has almost a dual meaning. What happened then will happen again. Okay, and that's when he brings us into the 38th chapter. He talks about these same plagues. All right, we move on to verse 15. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred, therefore saith the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines and will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them." By the time, now, by the way, this is the, right here. Okay. What's modern day Gaza? That's the area that we're talking about right now. Okay. That's the lower, the lower coast below Jerusalem. Modern day Gaza and stuff. By the way, have you even noticed that by the time Jesus comes, there are no Philistines? They're not even mentioned. They're destroyed. They're destroyed. Matter of fact, if you think about, by the time Jesus comes, you do not have the Ammonites mentioned again. You don't have the Moabites mentioned again. Tyre, which we're going to talk about, is not this great group of people up here anymore. Everything has changed. All these great nations have changed. Okay? And we have the judgment of God. Not only does Ezekiel speak about these very people, if you read the book of Isaiah, which we did the study in the book of Isaiah, he does the exact same thing. He talks about the same kind of judgment and stuff. So we have the Philistine down here, and he prophesies that he is going to destroy them. And he does. They don't exist, even to this day. Except, again, as I said a little bit ago, as a political people. And by the way, most of what you know where the Palestinians are today, for the most part, they're right here.
Yes.
Okay. That's Gaza. But the West Bank runs from the edge of Jerusalem up into this area right here. When it says West Bank, it means the West Bank of the Jordan River. Jericho is in the West Bank. A portion of Eastern Jerusalem is in the West Bank territory. And the Palestinians hold it. Bethlehem is in the hands of the Palestinians. Okay? Nazareth, for the most part, is an Arab. Nazareth is an interesting community. It's more of an Arab thing than a Palestinian thing. Nazareth has a lot of Arab people there, including a lot of Arab Christians live there. You know, but the Islamic faith is growing very strong in both Bethlehem, which, by the way, Bethlehem, again, for historically in our lifetime, has had a lot of Arab Christians live there. Believers in Jesus. Okay, but of Arab descent. But they're being pushed out today. Even the last time we were there, they're being pushed out today by the Islamic Arabs. I don't know, you see what's going on in Egypt today? When we were in Egypt in our last trip and stuff, our guide was an Egyptian Christian man. Okay? And those people are under the thumb now. I mean, they're under persecution now. And you have the Muslim Brotherhood that's leading that going on in Egypt right now. But it's just, again, it's just another group of mullahs, group of leaders that are going in there and getting rid of any opposition that they see. And in Egypt, unfortunately, we have our Coptic Christian brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And we have our the Presbyterian group is pretty strong. The guy we met with last time was his background was Presbyterian. Okay, and there was a large group of those over there. But you got to pray for them. They're being persecuted today. Okay. All right. So you have the Philistines, which again we again can say the descendants of Ammon and Moab, the Jordanians. We can say that. Okay, but when we say, where are the descendants of the Philistines? The answer is they do not exist. God annihilated them. They no longer exist as a identifiable people. They're gone. Questions or comments? All right, now he moves us into, now we've dealt with this region. We've dealt with this region. We've dealt with Gaza, the Philistines. Now we move up to the north. Okay. Today, the north is a nation called Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon. You go into Lebanon now, you wonder, where'd they ever get the idea to put trees on their big old beautiful cedars on their because they don't exist anymore. It's an arid. It is a barren country. But think about it. One time when during biblical days, it talked about these beautiful cedars of Lebanon. And even if you think about it, this is a region where they brought in a lot of the wood for Solomon's temple. And David acquired a lot of the building materials. And Tyre, right here, you see it here, is a port city. It was the port city on the Mediterranean. And everything that went out of this region went out of Tyre. And when they brought the materials for Solomon's temples, they would put it on boats and ship, bring it right down the coast. Caesarea, by the way, was not there at that time. That's a Roman province. Okay, bring it right down to a place that you may be familiar with is Joppa. Unload it here in Joppa. Who do you know from Joppa? A couple guys. Huh?
No.
Someone.
Is it Cornelius?
No.
No. That's right. Jonah. Okay. That's right. He got swallowed by Jonah. But another guy from Joppa that spent a lot of time in Joppa would be Peter.
Yeah.
It was from here that he got the call to go up to Caesarea to talk to Cornelius. Okay. All right. So that's Joppa. What's the modern day city in Joppa today? Anybody know?
Tel Aviv.
That's where Tel Aviv is, right here, today. Okay. All right. So Tel Aviv is the port city of Israel right now. So Tyre was, at this time, was the center. I want you to think about this. In the Mediterranean at this time, Tyre was the center of commerce. Okay. It was just, again, I think about when Solomon predates this, of course, you know, several hundred years. But for several hundred years, Tyre has been the place. Lebanon has been the place. Riches with mineral things, with the beautiful cedars and the wood and all that kind of stuff. That's the area we're talking about right now. And it's interesting that as we go into the prophecy against Tyre, that he likens... You're going to see, he likens the prince and the king of Tyre to Satan himself. Okay? And he talks about him. Okay? And when he talks about the king or the prince of Tyre, he talks about him in such a way as being almost omnipresent, omnipotent, and all these kind of things. But then you find out he's really not talking about, because he actually calls him, in some verses, the anointed cherub who is in Eden. I'm going to tell you, the king of Tyre was not in Eden.
No.
So who is he talking about? So let's look at this. So look at Tyre, and now you understand kind of the background of that area. And what it was. And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the Lord, word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken and was a gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its wave to come up against you. Now, isn't it interesting that he has him speak about something they were very familiar with, when the waves beating against it. He said, And I will have many armies. Now, again, biblical history is just fascinating to me, because when you go through Nebuchadnezzar and his troops who come through here, you have the Persians who come through here, you have Alexander who comes from this way and comes through here. Then after Alexander, you have the Romans. And the Romans, including the forerunner of Antichrist, Antiochus Epiphanes, he does nothing but keep coming through here. He's running to and fro, and just like Ezekiel's prophesying, I'm going to have these armies one after another. Just one's going to hit you, and when you think they're about ready to recede and you're not, then another one's going to hit you and stuff. And that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. So they pretty much all come through here. Because remember what this is. If you're over here in Greece and you're going to bring troops in ships across here, at this time there's no landing places here. Where are you going to land at? The main port city. You land, you bring your troops in here, you come down. Okay? So it's a military strategy, and all those kind of things are at play here and stuff. Okay, so Tyre, who had experienced, I would say, several centuries of wealth and prosperity and all these wonderful things, now God says, because you have turned your back on Israel, on my people, I'm going to bring wave after wave after wave of judgment. I want to throw this out to you, and it's not a prophetic thing, but when I look at something that most likens what I see, and again, I tell you, I don't see the United States in biblical prophecy at all, but when I see a nation described, a people described, the closest nation I see described to the United States is what he says about Tyre. It's more like us than any other nation. In power, in wealth, in prosperity, in military might, in being blessed for centuries. You know, you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, destruction. And why are they destroyed? Well, they certainly morally fell within, just like our country is. But ultimately, the final straw where God says, I'm going to take you out, is they turn their back on Israel. Please understand, the day is going to come when America will turn its back on Israel. It's prophesied. And it will happen. We will have not only a president that will do that, but we will have many of our political leaders who say, we see no significance of Israel. It's time for them to either get along with everybody else, or we're going to take our hands off. And that will be, you know, people say, well, that will sign the death, that will be the death knell for Israel. No, actually it won't. It will be the death knell for our country. Okay. It's prophesied. Every nation on earth will turn its back upon Israel. One of the reasons that I believe we're blessed goes all the way back to Abrahamic covenant. And our nation has historically been supporters of Israel. And when all the other nations so far have voted against Israel and these things, and again, I've shared this with you, it's not that I agree with everything that the Israelis do. Some of their policies are poor, bad policies. So we're not talking about politically always supporting everything that their Knesset does or one of their prime ministers or whatever what they do, but it is a matter of supporting the nation of Israel. So, all right, so Tyre is given to us this way. Look at verse 3. Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come against you. And they shall destroy the walls and break down her towers, and I will scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. What's the top of a rock? Nothing grows on a top of a rock. I don't know, I've done some hiking around here, and you wonder, how did that grow out of that rock? Well, it actually didn't grow on the top of the rock, does it? It had to find a crack or something. Okay? Again, I want you to see something, what he's saying here. When this was prophesied, this was such a beautiful region. I mean, rich and forested. And just, I mean, just incredible. If you go over there today in Lebanon, you say, where's the forest? Where's the trees? What's the major city over there today? A wonderful city that everybody wants to visit. A place called Beirut.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You might want to go to Beirut?
Yeah.
I mean, just even the thought of Beirut running through my head goes, I wouldn't even want to spend an hour in Beirut. I have no good thoughts about Beirut. I have horrible thoughts. I have thoughts of our Marine barracks being blown up by the Islamic radicals. There's no good thought there. And when I think of Beirut, I don't think of a beautiful city. I think of a city that's just been, again, under siege, under siege, under siege. And when I think of Lebanon, you can stand up here, even today you can stand up here on the northern border of Israel, and there's fences there, and there's patrols that go between these two series of fences on a road, and you look over from Israel into Lebanon, and there's nothing beautiful there. You know? But on the Israeli side of it, you see green fields, banana trees, avocado trees, all these kind of things, but across the thing, it's not there. Like the top of a rock. Okay? And by the way, it's never grown back, even to this day. I mean, if you have doubts about biblical prophecy, just read. And see where we are today, and exact things that God said would happen are exactly what has happened. Okay? So he goes on in this chapter. Let me just sort of review this. He goes on and talk about how verse 11. He talks about how the hooves of horses will be heard, and that's basically the description of great armies are going to come in and overrun your country. And then it says in verse 12, and they're going to plunder all the riches, all the things that they put their security in, all the things. Tyre had their identity in their riches. Now remember, when we say Tyre, we're not just talking about just the city. That is the city. But we're talking about this region up here. And they had their identity in the fact that we're rich. We're supplying all the luxury things for all the other regions of this thing. And we will always be rich. We'll never want for anything. You know the attitude? You've probably seen the attitude somewhere close by. Okay, we'll never want for anything, but in one day what happens? When the invading armies come in, they're destroyed. And they today, and not just today, but even in the time of Christ, there was nobody who desired to be here. There's no record of any riches there, even in the time of Christ. Okay? So he says, I will plunder your riches and pillage all your merchandise, break down all your walls and destroy your towers. That, remember, the walls and the towers are representative of the defense. Nobody can go up against us. And in that day, if you were at a city without walls and towers, what? You had no defense. Actually, you had no city, because you could be overrun very, very, very easily. Okay. I like how the terminology he uses in the middle of verse 12, and he said, "Your pleasant homes." Prosperity, riches. That's the message, okay? And again, verse 14, he used that same descriptive thing. I will make you like the top of a rock. Okay? Alright, so we go through that chapter, and then we come to chapter 27. And he begins by saying, now, the Lord says, take up a lament. What is a lament? A dirge, mourning, grieving, okay? I want you to see a similarity. So take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. And look with me at Revelation chapter 18. Now, Revelation chapter 17, and I'm not going to ask you to look at it, but what I want you to see, Revelation chapter 17 has to do with the whore, the great whore. It has to do with the fall of the religious institution in the last day. But Revelation chapter 18 has to do with the fall of economic and political Babylon. Revelation chapter 18 is a lament. And all the earth cries over the fall of Babylon. And the ships can no longer do what ships do, and the merchants can no longer do what merchants do, and money is no longer worth anything. That's the lament of chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. Okay? And again, you can read that later if you'd like to, but I would encourage you also to read chapter 27 of Ezekiel later. And we're going to spend a whole lot of time looking at this, but what I want you to do, again, is see the attitude. And look at starting in the middle of verse 3, here's what he says. He says, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. See the attitude there. They have no need of anything. They're rich. They're prosperous. Okay? The world revolves around Tyre in this day. I'm going to tell you that these when you read this chapter, you could take the word Tyre out if you wanted to and a lot of things and put America in there. Mm-hmm. We dwell in beauty. We dwell in riches. We dwell in prosperity. And we've gotten to the place where we think we're invincible. We'll never fall. We'll never crumble. We have no need of anything, including we've decided, you know, think in the late 60s, that we have no need of God. Now, of course, not everybody believes that. I understand that. But if you and I have been around since the 60s, at least most of us, except for one person in here. Okay? And we have seen what began in the late 60s, which is the God is Dead movement. You remember that, Carolyn? You remember the God? And it started out as, it always starts off as a small thing. You know, everybody said, you know, those crazy people, they're just on the fringe. And we find ourselves in 2012 where at least, maybe people will not say it openly, but practically, from the area of application of biblical truth and who God is dead in America. We don't believe we need Him.
Not relevant.
Not, that's exactly. And that's the point of saying He's dead. We, of course, we know God's not dead, but He is not relevant. You know? And if you think about the one person that's not welcome in many of our public institutions is God. You can bring everything else, even the most heinous things, into a lot of it, but you can't bring God in. Somehow that's an offense to people. Okay? So we're much like this, and I'm going to encourage you to read it from a prophetic standpoint. So, you know, what's going to happen to America? Read about Tyre. I guarantee you, you're going to find out what's going to happen to America. Okay? It is the same thing. So he goes on and talks about their, again, the planks of the fir trees, and it talks about the cedars of Lebanon and all these things that they had trusted in, they believed in. In verse 9, he talks about their wise men and how they, you know, they sought out these intellectuals and these even spiritual. I mean, think about it today. People are running to and fro finding out the latest wisdom and trying to find the latest spiritual fad to join in because man does, apart from having God, man has an emptiness in their life. And so what are they going to try to fill that in? If God's not filling that emptiness, what are we going to fill? We're going to fill it with material things. But we're still spiritual beings, so they're going to find some whatever the latest spiritual guru is that comes along. You know, we live in a day and time when you have people can get on TV and promote these guys. One of the greatest promoters of the whatever spiritual gurus come along today is a very famous woman, and I like her when I see her. I like to listen to her and stuff, but she's dangerous when it comes to that thing. And her name is Oprah Winfrey. She has the latest guru on her show, and she has stated openly she don't believe in biblical Christianity anymore. She don't believe that Jesus is the only way anymore, and she has these different mystical guys come on and stuff. And you know, you got to pray for her because I know she was raised, but I also know she was. I mean, if you tell the truth, she was abused in the Christian system. It's a sad thing. These abuse happen and people just run from it because they associate God or Jesus with what supposed Christians do. That's why it's so important, folks, that we don't just say what we believe, we live it. We love one another. We love, anyways, and, you know, so many things. So that's what they were doing. They were looking for their men of wisdom, their spiritual leaders, and they were trusting in all these things. They were trusting in their merchandise, and they were trusting in the fact that all the other nations depended. Go all the way down to verse 25. The ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. They were dependent upon the fact that every other nation depended on them to exist. They exported everything. Sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Scary.
Okay. They exported everything, and long as exports were going in their favor and stuff, they were rich. And he's calling lament down upon them to say this is going to stop. This is part of the judgment of God. Yes.
Can you tell me which 25 we're in?
I'm sorry.
Can you say verse 25?
We're in chapter 20, or in chapter 27. I'm sorry. Yeah, we are moving pretty quickly. I'm sorry. I intended to move very quickly this morning to just deal with this and stuff. And we're going to slow down a little bit next week in chapter 28 and talk about the Prince of Tyre. We need to spend some time there. Okay. So I would encourage you, by the way, is to read chapters 25, 26, and 27. I've given you an overview, and I want you to read them so you can get some of the more specific backgrounds and stuff, okay? I'm sorry.
You sent us to Revelations.
Huh?
Yeah.
You sent us to Revelations, and you were trying to draw some correlation, but then we lost you.
Oh, I'm sorry. please, my point was in Revelation chapter 18, that if you read that, you will see something very similar statements that happened to Babylon that he's speaking of here in Ezekiel chapter 27. I'm sorry. That was a correlation.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're the same event. I'm saying they're very similar. How Babylon falls, how Tyre falls. And then I'm trying to say to you, I believe this is how America's going to fall. Because again, the closest people that I personally find in all my studies of the Scripture that reflect who we are as a nation is written right here. Is Tyre. You read this chapter 27 of Ezekiel, and you could put America in here and it would fit. That's what's kind of frightening to me. The attitude, the dependence on exporting, the trust in our merchandise, the trust in the wisdom of men, the trust in spiritual leaders, all these kind of things. Okay. Now, verse 33 of chapter 27, I know we're over time on it, but I want to finish up this chapter. It says, when your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with many luxury goods and your merchandise. That sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Okay. We that's what we do. Think about America. Most of manufacturing and export that we do in America has more to do with luxury items than things that are needed any longer.
iPad.
Yeah. But I just want you to think about it. We do most of the things that are luxury now. We don't do necessities in our exports. That's where they were. That I guess that works good for a while, as long as people have money. What happens when you have worldwide? Anyways, verse 34, but when you are broken by the seas and the depths of the water, your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. Okay? All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid and their countenance will be troubled. Again, listen to me. The correlation of Revelation chapter 18, what's going to finally happen, it talks about that. That they'll see the smoke rising up out of Babylon and they'll be astonished. How could Babylon fall? Same way here. How could Tyre fall? They were rich. Same way when America falls. How could America fall? They had everything. And we stopped there.
Man, I'm bummed out.
Okay. Well, have an encouraging day, okay? Hey, all I can do is read to you what it says, guys, you know?
I mean, you got to pay our taxes to the IRS.
But yeah. Yeah, go ahead and